from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buddy David Lombardi is here on the River Islands guest line. The Athletic covering the 49ers like no one else. David, thank you for coming on. Why did you say that this was like the most spirited practice of camp so far?
I don't think I said that, but it was a spirited practice.
Okay.
It was one of those longer ones they've had. I mean, every once in a while they'll go long, and those ones tend to be the most competitive because the guys get most sick of each other. So today they have 2 weeks until the regular season starts, so they can still go long and then dial it back next week to get some rest. So there were a lot of nice plays made going in both directions today. And Fred Warner, he always is yapping out there on the field. You could always hear him, so... That was happening today from the defensive side, but then the offense made some really, really nice plays as well, and the sideline was getting into it after the nice plays from the offense. So I just thought it was competitive. It went back and forth, and, you know, it typically is on the long days of practice that we've seen the most spirited enthusiasm, right? And I think today was one of those days.
How many more of these type of days are they going to have between now and the opener 2 weeks from now?
Well, today was the last one with the full roster, or at least most of it. They cut 5 guys before practice. They went from 90 to 85. They've got to make, 32 more cuts before 1 p.m. tomorrow. There's not practice tomorrow. It's cut down day. And then they'll sign their practice squad as well. So they'll come back out there with a different sized roster on Wednesday and Thursday, and then it's Labor Day weekend. And then, you know, I'm guessing they're already game planning and implementing some stuff for the Jets now, since training camp is in the rearview mirror. But they go into full game week mode next week. So if there's any chance of a long competitive practice happening one more time or two more times, it's going to be Wednesday and Thursday. Although I would suspect that this one was probably the longest that we'll see of the week.
David, I'll ask it to you this way. We obviously need to get an answer with regard to these two holdout players, hold in, whatever you want to call them. The preseason is now over. The game is 2 weeks from tonight. We're getting down to brass tacks. What is your level of surprise that both of these situations remain in flux?
Nothing really surprised me with Brandon Ayuk because that's been so unpredictable. I'll be very surprised if we don't have firm movement on the Trent Williams front this week, though. I've always thought, okay, mid-August to a little bit later August, that's the bulk of training camp. Williams obviously is one of the players that doesn't really need camp, and maybe, in fact, he benefits from having a fresher body at age 36. But at some point, you do need to start developing that football callus. You do need to get a few practices at least under your belt before you play a real game. And we know how important Williams is to Brock Purdy and the 49ers at that left tackle position. I mean, right now they don't have Aaron Banks in there either. He broke his pinky. They hope to have him back by week one, but that means the entire left side of the offensive line has been backups. And I think you could tell against the Raiders on Friday. It's been Nick Zakel started at the left guard position. They're filtering Ben Barch in there as well. And then at left tackle, it's been Jalen Moore. But Trent Williams, arguably the best player in the NFL, a huge part of this football team. The 49ers need to figure something out on that front. And as of right now, yeah, I'm surprised that it hasn't had any movement yet. But, you know, I would be really shocked if they can't at least show some tangible progress by the end of this week.
Which would give them time to come in next week and be ready for the opener 2 weeks from today. The Brandon Ayuk one, David, I'm kind of with you as far as the puzzlement, the ongoing puzzlement of it. Are you getting any sense that negotiations are ongoing, or are we at a stalemate spot where Brandon Ayuk and the team just aren't moving any closer to resolution?
Well, I mean, it definitely had seemed that they're moving closer based on some of the stuff that I had heard about, what, a week ago or so. It's hard. You kind of lose track. It's all the days blurred together. But there had been progress. It obviously hadn't gotten to the finish line. And, you know, now we're sitting here with CeeDee Lamb having signed the contract with the Cowboys. That should give some more parameters. Now, the Brandon Ayuk situation it's always been a funkier one because he is not the same at the same level of like volume as CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson, right? The 49ers had an offense where they were distributing the ball more to other players. So the raw target numbers and the raw catch numbers weren't the same. The usage numbers weren't the same in the pass game, at least, for Brandon Ayuk. That being said, his efficiency numbers were better than both of those receivers. So I think for that reason, it's been a tougher needle to thread for the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk's camp. But it's also been probably for other reasons, and it's just been really, really hard to put a finger on it. But it's been a very unpredictable contract negotiation. So you know, the winds had been blowing in the right direction toward a deal as, you know, recently as last week. And right now I'm just kind of getting radio silence again. So that remains as unpredictable as ever. But I do know that the 49ers have wanted to get something done.
David and David Lombardi with us. Real quick on that front, because of the calendar, you know, teams are now, most of them, less than 2 weeks out from an actual game. Is a trade of Brandon Ayuk still on the table? Is it still a possibility?
I haven't heard anything ruled out by the 49ers. Every single bit of messaging, and this has been publicly, even in a press conference from the team, is that everything is still on the table. I just think that when we look at the situation, you know, rationally from, okay, what's best for the 49ers, both in the short term and the long term, but while also emphasizing that the short term has probably outsized importance right now for the team because they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year, just given the context of everything that's happened in the past 5 years, it seems to me that the best possible solution for the 49ers would be to re-sign Brandon Ayuk and get after it. Now, I think that there's an argument to be made that's the best possible solution for Brandon Ayuk as well. But the question is that what's the happy spot financially, and then are there, you know, hurt feelings to smooth over, because it obviously hasn't been the smoothest negotiation. So, I mean, that's all I have for you, really, in this situation. It's been very unpredictable. It's taken a lot of twists and turns, and everything has been on the table, as we've learned over the course of the past 3 or 4 weeks. But Ayuk remains a 49er, and the status quo is the status quo.
How'd Pearsall look today?
He was moving really smoothly, but I don't think there was ever a question about how well he'd move, because the lower body is healthy right now. It's the upper body. It's the shoulder that has been the injury. Partial dislocation of his shoulder. It kept him out for about 3 weeks. He was in a blue non-contact jersey. It's the left shoulder, so he had a supporting sleeve on that left shoulder. And, you know, this happened to Pearsall his junior year of college, and then it happened in OTAs and again at the start of camp. So the 49ers are taking a step back because it happened twice within a relatively short period of time. And they're, you know, obviously they don't want to go to surgery because that would sideline Pearsall for much longer. So they feel that they can get this shoulder right by slow playing his return. Part of the slow play is returning to practice, but in a non-contact jersey. When does he take that jersey off is the next question, because I feel that that presents the next test for the shoulder, which Shanahan has said was tender. So they feel that, you know, obviously if it's still tender, then there's a risk of an injury relapse there. So maybe by next week he's out of that blue non-contact jersey, and then they could see if he could be active for week one against the Jets.
And will that determine, at least in some small part, what they do wide receiver-wise with the roster cut down? Or do you think they have a good idea of the five or maybe the six receivers that they're going to keep tomorrow at 1 o'clock?
If they believe that they can manage this Pearsall situation in the short run, right, without surgery or, you know, having to do something that would involve the injured reserve, if they firmly believe that, and it sounds to me like they do, then no, it shouldn't affect how the 53-man roster is constructed. I think that the most efficient grouping for the 49ers is six wideouts, and this is assuming that everything is taken care of with Brandon Ayuk, but it's Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, and Chris Conley. That group of six wide receivers would be extremely beneficial for the 49ers because this is a team that has obviously a really crowded roster, so you want as much efficiency as possible. That group of six receivers gives you your punt returner because I think Jacob Cowing is going to win that job. He's looked really good there. And it also gives you your top gunner in Chris Conley, who was a star in that role in the Super Bowl. So if you can get two key special teams roles out of a group of six wide receivers, that's real efficiency in building a roster, and I think that's what the 49ers would prefer at cutdown day.
David Lombardi, The Athletic, with us here on Willard and Dibbs. David, this is a little crystal ballish, but you've also been watching it now for a little while in some form. Let's say there's no Ayuk and no Trent on week one, which I know the Trent thing is very probable, but how have they looked without those guys?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's so hard to tell on a team-wide basis because they're not trying to play complementary team-wide football. Even in the preseason, it's you're treating these games more as practice. So I can tell you, you know, what the individual positions have looked like, but as a team, it's really tough to tell the net impact. I mentioned a little bit earlier that the left side of the offensive line against the Raiders did not look as good as it needs to look for the 49ers to push this forward all the way to a Super Bowl. And that's also in part because you're on a backup at the left guard position. So the entire left side of the offensive line isn't what the 49ers would ideally want at this time. It's so hard to find an offensive tackle that is an above average player, you know, above replacement player in this league. That's, I think that it's almost mandatory at this point, just given the way that the position has gone, given the way that, you know, how we've seen the proliferation of athleticism at edge rusher, those who have the offensive tackles have to block. It almost seems like you need a high draft pick to get that done. And the 49ers haven't had that. So the drop off from Trent Williams to who's next, and that's Jalen Moore, is significant. Now, as far as Ayuk goes, he's excellent as far as beating man coverage. He's a really good separator. So obviously without him on the field, it's tougher to generate separation offensively. But again, it's hard to judge that, you know, what kind of impact it has on the totality of the offense, because guess who else has been out over the course of almost all of training camp? That's Christian McCaffrey. and he's going to be back. But he's a huge space generator for this offense. So it's hard to isolate those two variables because they're both out right now. But I think, like, on an individual level, obviously the 49ers are hurt by both of those absences, and I think that the Trent Williams one is the more glaring absence right now.
And the offensive line in totality has been a little bit patchwork, but Dominic Pooney's been great stepping in at right guard. Do you imagine that he will not be the only rookie who starts the game here in their all 22?
That's tough. It depends what formation they start with, but I think Jacob Cowing, for example, is going to see a lot of time for the 49ers. And from the get-go, right, from week one, he might be the starting punt returner. And, you know, he's built more sturdy. He's not big guy, but he's more sturdy than Ray-Ray McCloud was. So I see a more complete offensive role for somebody like Jacob Cowing, who's got that great burst. And on the defensive side of the ball, you know, today at practice, George Odom was out. He rolled his ankle during the pregame warmups of 49ers Raiders, and then he only played on the opening kickoff before they yanked him. So Malik Mustafa started. Shanahan said that the injury is not serious and they expect Odom back soon. But since he did miss practice, Malik Mustafa was in there alongside Jair Brown as well. And he had a really nice pass breakup against George Kittle. And that was with Brock Purdy throwing the ball. It was just a clean pass breakup. And it was an eyebrow-raising play. And we've seen a lot of those eyebrow-raising plays from Malik Mustafa. So I think that he's the guy that is just going to force his way onto the field sooner rather than later for the 49ers. So it's him and it's Cowing that are the two rookies that I'm looking at right now.
David, are you predicting a Brandon Allen trade to the Tennessee Titans?
No, but I just figure that Brian Callahan really, really likes Brandon Allen. And obviously they just let go of Malik Willis. So they have an open quarterback spot. And if Brandon Allen were available right now, like just available, like on the street right now, I think that he'd get scooped up by Tennessee. So it's a question of, how badly would the Titans want, how badly would Brian Callahan want to bring Brandon Allen aboard? And if it's badly enough, and if the 49ers are comfortable with having Tanner Mordecai as their third quarterback, and I don't know the answer to either of those two questions, then yeah, maybe Tennessee would be willing to offer a draft pick to the 49ers. And if, you know, all those conditions are met, and if, especially if the 49ers are comfortable with Mordecai, then that might be a deal they'd be willing to make. But I'm not definitely not predicting it. I just know that one of the conditions in place for that to happen is there, because Brian Callahan has coached Brandon Allen before as the OC of the Bengals. But for a trade to happen at this point, like, three conditions have to be met, which is why they're not all that common.
David Lombardi, The Athletic. Hey, before you run, Manti Te'o goes on Good Morning Football and says the 49ers look emotionally drained. How would you describe their emotional state?
It's tough coming off of what they've come off of over the past 5 years, obviously, but I don't know how, you know, anybody could really make that judgment until we see a game. You know, I think the 2014 49ers season, after they had been through so much heartache over 2011, 2012, and 2013, once the regular season started and you saw them play a few games, I know the opener against the Bears is where they blew that lead. Yeah, I think you could fairly start to say that they looked emotionally drained. But it's the true emotions of football come out on game day, right? And everybody's trying to read so far into every single practice. It's just not really fair. I mean, there were times last year when I remember people saying the same thing about the 49ers during training camp, saying, oh, yeah, it doesn't look like this team has any juice left. I'm getting weird vibes from this team. And they came out 5-0, and they ended up dominating the NFC and dominating their way back to the Super Bowl. So all those reads were way off the mark. I just think that you can't really judge this stuff until the regular season hits. You know, we're all missing football, right? We're all missing real games. So there's this temptation to just make these sweeping judgments on a team's emotional state or how good a team will be. But the truth is, we don't really know until they actually take that field on September 9th and beyond.
David, great stuff. Thank you for coming on, my man.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.